Now, I want to remind you that although ministry is in many ways draining, it is also wonderfully nourishing. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of the Father who sent me." And you will find that God sustains you in your walk with Him as you are intentional about reaching out to others in ministry.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, with over 40 years of ministry as being a pastor, I'm sure that there are a number of times in your life where this has been true.
Oh, this is such a wonderful truth. I remember, it's more than 20 years ago now, I heard Warren Wiersbe, wonderful pastor, just make this point. You know, people say that ministry is draining, and there's truth in that, but it's also nourishing. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." That has helped me for decades now. It really has. And talking to younger guys in ministry, lay people in ministry, I find folks are often afraid of, if I really give myself to serving the Lord, you know, am I going to end up being totally beaten up and just sort of cast by the wayside? Am I going to destroy myself? What Heavenly Father would allow that to be the case? It's a wonderful truth that you extend yourself in serving the Lord. And this is actually nourishing. He has His own way of sustaining His own people. And the very act of reaching out to others and serving others and getting into the lives of others, that's the richest thing in my life and in my experience. What a privilege that is. You can't end up having a barren life if you give yourself to others.
Well, we're going to see that today from Scripture. If you can, join us in the book of Jude. We're looking at verse 22 as we begin a message, "Reach Out to Others." Here's Pastor Colin.
We all know what it is for your body to feel out of shape, and we're recognizing that the same thing can also happen with regards to your soul. So whatever stage you're at in the Christian life, we're recognizing the need to be intentional about keeping yourself in spiritual shape. And Jude has identified 7 ways in which we will all be helped to do that. You find them listed at the end of the book of Jude. I hope you've found it now, just before the book of Revelation, beginning at verse 20. And we've covered these so far from verse 20. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. That was the first workout. Second, pray in the Holy Spirit. Third, keep yourselves in the love of God. And then last time we looked at the fourth workout, wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. We saw, remember, that this is not paradise here, that we cannot make it into paradise, but rather we are waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will create the new heaven and the new earth that will be the home of righteousness. He will make everything new. And so if we are to live healthy Christian lives, we need, Jude tells us, to learn to wait. And we saw that that waiting can be one of the most constructive experiences and disciplines within the spiritual life. Well, now, coming to that point, the obvious question that follows is, well, what are we to do while we're waiting? What are we to do between now and the day when Jesus Christ returns in glory and takes us into His nearer presence? And the answer to that question that Jude gives us is, very simply, you are to give yourselves until that day to ministry. And that's the focus of our fifth workout. Verse 22 and verse 23, be merciful to those who doubt. This is what you're to do while you're waiting. Snatch others from the fire and save them. God calls every one of us to ministry. There are people in need all round about us. And so from now until the time when Jesus comes or calls for you, give yourself to the work of ministry. This is what it will look like, Jude says. It will involve being merciful to those who doubt and snatching others from the fire to save them. So our fifth workout, which is our focus today, is very simply that God calls us to reach out to others, and that for you will be part of spiritual health. Now, I want to remind you that although ministry is in many ways draining, it is also wonderfully nourishing. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of the Father who sent me." And you will find that God sustains you in your walk with Him as you are intentional about reaching out to others in ministry. In fact, to be a healthy Christian, we're learning this morning, you need to be intentional about reaching out to others. Now, many of us know this from our experience because you're already doing it. For others, our greatest need, if we are to get into spiritual shape, is to get into some kind of ministry and serving, to reach outside of ourselves, to become aware and sensitive and responsive to the needs of others, because the whole of our lives has simply become about ourselves. I love the balance of Scripture. You see, as Jude is telling us what it means to live a healthy Christian life, he's talked about your faith. He's talked about your prayer life. He's talked about the love of Christ, keeping yourself in the love of God. He's talked about the hope that's ahead of us, anticipating paradise. These are all things that are between you and Jesus. But the Christian life is much more than Jesus and me. And if all you have is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, in which you know sweet times of prayer and of Bible study, then your Christian life is out of balance. If that's all you have, it is simply not healthy. You need some exercise. You need, as it were, some fresh air to come into your soul. I found this, I have to tell you, to be of enormous practical benefit, sometimes at the simplest level. For example, when I was still a teenager, I knew at that time and sensed that God was calling me to the ministry, and I remember hearing one of my own former pastors, a former pastor of my home church, his name was J. Sidlow Baxter, some of you may have heard of him, giving a talk on how he sustained a life of ministry. And he began to describe, it's vivid in my memory, how he coped with a grey Tuesday afternoon. I think he just chose Tuesday as a representative day. And I know that it's very difficult to imagine a grey day on a beautiful day like this. But just live in Britain for a little while, you'll understand what a grey day is all about. You know, the sort of day when the rain just never seems to stop and everything seems terribly gloomy. Now, you know what it's like to have a grey day in your soul. So one of these days where you say, I've no energy, I've lost my motivation, I feel so low. Now, I remember as a youngster listening to Dr. Baxter saying, what do you do on a grey Tuesday afternoon? And this is what he said. I get out of my study and I go visit someone in need. And I don't know if it does them any good, but it always replenishes my own soul. I have found that again and again to be a blessing in my life. I was recently at another meeting for pastors where our own pastor, Ted Alston, was speaking briefly on the same subject and gave some wonderful advice. He used a phrase that I will never forget and pass on to you because of its great value. He spoke about irrigating your soul in the joys and sorrows of your people. That's beautiful. Your soul will be watered as you enter into the joys and the sorrows of other people. Your soul will be watered as you get outside of your own little world and reach out to touch somebody else in love and in compassion and ministry. Now, that's the focus of this fifth workout for a healthy Christian life. Be intentional about building this into your life. Look for some way to bring the blessing of God, however simply, into the life of one other person. Look for some way to lighten somebody else's load, and you will lighten your own load. Let there be somebody, even at the end of today, who thanks God for you.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Reach Out to Others, part of our series in the book of Jude called Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape, 7 Workouts for a Healthy Christian Life. You know, if you want to grow in your faith, there are things that we can be doing, spiritual exercises that we can be putting into practice, and Jude has 7 of those that we're looking at in this series. If you ever miss a broadcast, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.com. openbible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Another way to listen is through the Open the Bible app. You'll find that for free at your app store. It's a great way to listen on demand. But whether you listen on the radio, through the app, or at our website, it's all made possible because of your generosity. So thank you for giving to and supporting this ministry. You can give a gift of support right now by calling 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or at our website, openthebible.org. Well, if you've ever wanted to understand the Bible story better, from Genesis to Revelation, see how the whole Bible points to Jesus and love Him more, I want to encourage you to check out a brand new podcast that we've just released. It's called Hike Through the Bible. It will take you all the way through the Bible story in 50 episodes. You'll find the podcast at your favorite podcast platform, or you can watch it at our YouTube channel. Just look for Hike Through the Bible. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, before we get into the heart of what Jude is saying to us here in this exhortation to give ourselves to ministry, it seems to me that there are a number of important principles that we can derive from the way that he states this, and I want to commend them for your consideration. Notice that Jude identifies, in fact, three groups of people. Some people say there are only two here. That may be the case, but two or three, whatever. First, there are those who doubt. Second, there are those who are in the fire. Third, there are those who have been stained by corrupted flesh. That's the phrase that he uses. Don't worry about what these mean. At the moment, all I want you to notice is that he identifies three groups of people. And it seems to me to be very significant that he commends to us a distinct and even different approach to ministry to each of these groups. Now, from that, I learned this principle, that ministry can never be reduced to a formula. You see, as soon as you get the idea that you can learn one approach that's going to work for everybody, you eliminate dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to be careful and measured here, because I am not questioning the value of learning a framework of presenting the gospel, nor am I questioning the value of learning some principles of counseling and so forth. These things are very useful. They're very valuable. But they do have to be applied with sensitivity and skill. You see, some folks have learned that the root issue with every problem goes back to sin. A sinful response to God. You've read that, you've imbibed that, that's your position. And so what happens is that whenever you try and reach out to somebody else, you're looking for the sin that's behind their problem. It's the only thing you can see. So this person's got a fear of flying. Oh, there must be some unbelieving response to God behind that. So you just whack it to him. There are others who have been brought up in a different tradition and are equally strongly convinced that every person's problem has its root in a lack of love or affirmation. So your colleague at work is cheating on his wife. What's your first instinct? To say, my goodness, what made him do it? Poor fellow. Oh, his wife is cold. Oh, it's perfectly understandable. He needs to be loved. Now, I could multiply examples. I simply want to make this point, that ministry cannot be reduced to a formula. Suppose you have a pain in your chest, and you decide that you're going to go and see the doctor. You expect a proper examination, and you want a good diagnosis before a prescription is made about your condition. Now, suppose that you go into the doctor's, and you say, oh, doctor, I've got this pain in my chest. And he says to you, pain in the chest? Oh, I got just the thing for you. Miracle cure. Oh, you say, miracle cure. It's good for pains in the chest, is it? Oh, miracle cure is good for everything, he says. It does for pains in the chest. It restores hair that you've lost. It works for arthritis. It does overactive thyroid, underactive thyroid, piles. I mean, whatever you've got, miracle cure does it. By the way, I've seen some adverts that look suspiciously like that, haven't you? But we all know the difference between a doctor and a quack. I hope you know the difference. Now, the diseases of the soul are as varied and as complex as the diseases of the body. So be very careful about an approach to ministry that reduces everything to one formula. Jude warns us against that, different approaches to different conditions. You see that there? Secondly, and reinforcing this, Jesus Christ is our model of ministry. You never have a better model of ministry than our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's worth studying how his approach to the predicament of different people is quite distinct. Nicodemus was a proud man who thought he knew it all. He needed to be humbled. Zacchaeus was a social outsider with a long story of flagrant sin. He needed the embrace of Jesus in his home. The rich young ruler had lived a good life and thrown himself into the pursuit of excellence. He had to discover what he needed to let go. The woman at the well, whose life had been desperately unstable, and yet within her soul there was a deep longing and hunger for God, she needed to know that God was also seeking after her. Now, Jesus himself was and is the answer to these and everyone else's problem. But the way in which Jesus ministered to these people was self-evidently tailored to the particularities of their situation. And that leads to this third observation, that we are completely dependent in all ministry on the work of the Holy Spirit. If ministry was simply applying a formula, I could learn the formula at college and then go and apply it for the rest of my life. But whatever the level of your skill, your knowledge, and your training, you are utterly dependent upon the Spirit of God if you are to bring help to another person. If you're to be a channel of God's grace, you need to walk with God in order to be used in that kind of way. No two children are alike. What works with one may not be so helpful with another. Parenting is not about applying a formula. You need the wisdom and the discernment of the Holy Spirit to do this job well. I was so thankful to talk with someone in our congregation just a few weeks ago who said to me, it was the sense of the responsibility of being a father that showed me first my need of Jesus Christ. And maybe that's where someone is right here this morning. You realize that God has given you this incredible responsibility. You can't do it by applying a formula. You need wisdom from above. You need Jesus Christ. And you need the help and the wisdom of the Spirit of God. We are completely dependent upon the work of the Spirit. Now, having established these principles, Jude now comes to give us some advice about the how of ministry. Now, the Bible is a wonderfully practical book. People talk about being practical. If you read the Bible with open eyes, you will see how practical it is. How are we to go about this work of ministry? What are we to seek in reaching out to others? Let me give you four areas of exercise for this fifth workout. Number one, we're to reach out to others in compassion. Notice how Jude puts it. Be merciful. Be merciful to those who doubt. Now, those who doubt, of course, would include those whose faith has been undermined and those whose faith has not yet been fully formed. People who have a general sort of faith in God but have not really grasped the uniqueness and glory and saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there would have been many people in the churches in Jude's day who were rather like this. Remember that earlier in the letter he has told us about false teachers, verse 4, who denied the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, caused all kinds of confusion in the church. Now, Jude says there are many folks within the sweep of a gathered congregation who are very unsure, even when we sing a statement like, I believe in God the Father, I believe in the Holy Bible. And there are many within the gathered congregation who may have struggles some of these affirmations of faith. Now, how are you to reach out and help such a person? Now, Jude's stating it very clearly. You be merciful. You be merciful. You be patient. You stand with to help and to encourage and to support, to show and to demonstrate. You see, there's a big difference between the person who struggles to believe and the person who refuses to believe. If you can't see the difference between these two things, you'll never be effective in ministry. There's a big difference between the child, to go to that family analogy, who struggles to do what is right, and the child who refuses to do what is right. It's a wonderful thing, by the way, that God can tell the difference. Now, some of us are just natural confronters. And we need to hear this. Your ministry will be more effective, your parenting will be more effective, if you can learn to be merciful to those who doubt. I have to tell you to speak a private word, as much as you can do that in public, but I'm talking about an in-house word here. I do sometimes wince when I hear reported things that have been said from one to another member of this congregation. A lady is bereaved. And 6 months into it, she says to her friend that she's still struggling, and she gets told, "You should be over it by now." A person comes from another background, another kind of church where the Bible was very, very little taught, and they come with almost no knowledge about this, yet they regard themselves as a Christian, and they have a hunger to seek more. Which church did you come from? Well, you won't learn much there. See, sometimes our flippant social remarks reveal who we are. Learn that compassion is at the heart of ministry. That mercy will take your words far further than judgment. We have wonderful opportunities to help those who doubt. But the only way to do it is to do it mercifully, to remember that some struggle with particular frailties and will do so all their lives. And please, 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 don't expect other people to learn in 1 week what God took 20 years to teach you. It's compassion. See how that's going to help ministry?
Well, we do have to hit the pause button right there, but we'll continue this message. Reach out to others next time here on Open the Bible. Our message is part of a larger series called Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape, 7 Workouts for a Healthy Christian Life. You know, if you want to grow in your faith, it is going to take some work, but it will be worth the effort. In this series, Pastor Colin is giving us 7 spiritual workouts from the book of Jude. And as we put these workouts into practice, it helps us get our spiritual lives into shape. If you'd like to get a copy of this series, visit our website, openthebible.org, and look for Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape. Or ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Well, one of the things that my family and I love to do is to go hiking. And Colin, I think it would be a lot of fun to go on a hike with you. And right now, we have an opportunity for listeners to join you on a hike.
Yes, I am inviting you to join me on a hike through the Bible. And it is going to be a gentle, easy pace of a hike. Each week, you'll read a chapter of the Bible and a chapter of my book, Hike Through the Bible. And in 1 year, you'll have read 50 chapters of the Bible. You'll have grasped the big picture of the Bible story. And most of all, you'll have grown in your love for Jesus Christ. Now, there's a Hike Through the Bible podcast to help you on this journey. In each episode, I read a chapter of the book and then I discuss it with some friends. So get started now. You can subscribe to the Hike Through the Bible podcast for free wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find more information at openthebible.org/hike. That's openthebible.org/hike.
Well, thank you, Colin. I think a lot of us are going to enjoy taking that hike with you. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Doctrine. Watch Your Doctrine is a 6-session course that is geared for leaders, but accessible for every believer. The 6 sessions will introduce you to 6 central truths of the Christian faith: how we know God, how God speaks to us, how sin affects us, how God's Spirit brings new life, how we're made right with God, and what Jesus accomplished on the cross. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own, or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, or to begin this free online course, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.